I didn't say that unless he told me. He said, we matched. Take your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I was reading some illustrations about forgiveness. And I'm afraid some people behave towards others like this little boy treated others. He said, when I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a brand new bicycle. Then he said, I figured maybe that God doesn't work that way, so I stole one and asked him to forgive me. I sat at my computer and laughed. I thought, oh, that's not good. That's not what I'm talking about. Let's stand and read Colossians chapter 3. It is so nice. It is so nice to be on a series. So I'm not looking for a sermon. I look for sermons all the time. I got a whole list of things. Okay, on my computer, I got WKSER. That means I'm working on that sermon, and I think I get a thought or something God gives to me when I'm reading my Bible, or praying, or talking to somebody, or see something going on. And so I got a whole bunch of those. But boy, this forgiveness, boy, there's a lot in the Bible. I'm telling you, it's full of it. And since it's full of it, it must be a big thing in our Christian life. And I want to be very careful that I have forgiveness in my heart. There are some times in life that people really hurt us. And people are very unkind to us. And the Lord says, hey, let me take care of it. Get your hands off it. Let me take care of it. I take better care of it than you can take. Amen? And so that's what I'm finding. I'm finding all the time on forgiveness. This may turn into my Psalm series. Sorry. All right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you be risen with Christ, by the way, that's asking a question. If you are, if you're a Christian, in other words, seek those things which are from above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, for your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, I like that, who is our life, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. But now, ye also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, which is dead, old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek, nor Jew, circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ in all, and in all. There takes care of all this, segregation and things like that. God says, no, it shouldn't be any of that. Once you get saved, you know, I'll be honest with you, I hackle up. Oh, I better forgive. I really hackle up. I've been getting a lot of, because of Marsh's hospitalization and all that stuff, I get a lot of surveys that I have to take and send it into the company. And it says, what nationality are you? And I want to put USA. It says, are you white? Well, actually, no, I'm not white. This shirt is white. I'm not white. Are you Hispanic? See? Yeah. Are you African American? And on and on and on. And I'm going like, no, I'm an American. I am an American. It ticks me off. And then it said, do you speak English? Hey, stupid! This is America! You're fucking... Okay, I'm sorry. Just a minute, I got to forgive myself. All right. Oh, that grates me. But yeah. See, I'm just like you are. You feel the same way. You want to shout hallelujah. You want to be behind the pulpit and say those things, don't you?
Amen. Amen.
Now listen, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect God, verse 12, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. Wow. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And that's what we got tonight. We had the congregational singing. We had choir singing. We had the men's trio sing. And then we had the red outfit singers. Amen. We got it all, amen. And they admonished us. Those words, those songs tonight were tremendous, amen. I'm not the way I used to be. Praise the Lord about that. They're testifying, amen. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. So when you get mad at somebody and you don't like somebody and you're ticked off at somebody, read this verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. Be scared of the whole thing, you see. You. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we really have a struggle with a lot of this stuff, and I guess that's why I'm preaching, and that's why I want to encourage you to do right. Father, bless this time. May we not injure each other, but may we be an encouragement and a help to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It has been said the art of forgiving is a spiritual gift of grace. The art of forgiving is a spiritual gift of grace. Every Christian should work on grace and develop it because it is so difficult to put into practice. It is not easy. It is not easy to forgive. Therefore, if it's not easy to forgive, then you must practice it and practice it and practice it. When I'm learning a new song, I have to sing it and 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 sing it. And then after a while, when I used to sing Justified, what was one of the hardest songs I had learned. And so Marcia and I would practice it and practice it and practice. She'd stop and said, no, you got to sing it this way. And practice. Nope. She said, you missed it that way. And on and on and on. Finally said, I think you got it. And there are some words in there were tongue twisters. And I had to get over that tongue twister to get through it because it doesn't sound very good if you don't understand the song that I'm singing. If you sing a song and people don't understand the words you're singing, you wasted our time. Singing should be musical preaching. Greatest compliment I ever got when Mrs. Evans said, preacher, you not only sing that song, you preach that song. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're preaching it to get our hearts ready to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. This music that Mrs. Fern plays and Nancy and this music that they play and Cynthia and Mr. Ortiz. It's music that they play are getting us ready for the invitation at the end of the service. It starts here, and we're just trying to get everything we can so that people make a decision like Larry did this morning and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and follow the Lord and believe in baptism. That all had to do with it. So if the practice again is important, it's very important that we as Christians should work on grace and forgiveness and develop in us, because it is so difficult to put into practice. It's hard to forgive people. It's very hard to forgive people. People hurt us. People say bad things about us. People do things to hurt us, to wreck us, to ruin us, to get rid of us. I've seen guys at work that are working, and you can see almost the writing on the wall that certain people are after them to get them out of their life, get them out, get them fired from their job, push them out. It's very hard for that person who sees that to remain calm and courteous and practice the grace of forgiveness, because they are trying to take away your living and trying to make your life miserable so they can get rid of you and find somebody else that they'd rather have in there. Roy Smith offered the following suggestion on forgiveness. Number one, begin by assuring yourself that compared to Christ's suffering, you haven't been seriously wronged after all. Compared to Christ, you haven't been wronged seriously. Number two, recall the many kind deeds that have been shown you, perhaps even by the person who is now harming you. Think back. Just think back. Number three, list the benefits that you have received from the Lord. Since these things start, all of a sudden you say, wow, I guess God has blessed me in this. Number four, thank Him for blessing you with His love and forgiveness each day. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Number five, make an honest effort to pray for the one who has injured you. Pray for that father who may have tried to destroy you, or that daughter. I know a little bit about that. My grandfather tried to kill my mother. He had a violent temper. He told my mother, screamed out, he said, "I hope you burn in hell." Well, that's a real blessing. You know, I never once heard my mother ever speak ill about that man. But she was always praying for him. Finally, the old man got saved. I know about that stuff. Go further by number six. Go even further by looking for opportunities to help that person. Love your enemy. Do good to them that persecute. I think there's something in the Bible about that. Number seven, if the offense is especially hard to forget, try to erase the memory by thinking gracious and generous thoughts. I'm trying to help you tonight. Some of you will never get over it. Some of you will not allow God to work in your heart. And the thing is, the sad thing about it, if you don't take care of it, there are things that God's not going to forgive you either. And so you better just take care of it. Amen or oh me, one or the other. Man, I'm just be hitting something. Nobody's doing nothing. Just sitting there like. Finally, before you fall asleep, this is number eight. Finally, before you fall asleep at night, repeat slowly and thoughtfully the praise from the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. At the cross is a wonderful song. Listen to the words, at the cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Listen to Paul as he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we already read it. If ye then, being risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things earth. The word affection, if you're taking notes, here's some interesting things about the Greek word that Paul used to describe to those Christians how they're supposed to live. It's from the word phoinol. Our King James writer, Authorized Version scholars back in 1611 translated that word a couple different ways. They translated it to think. This is, now remember now, we're talking about what? Affection. To think, to regard, the mind, to be minded, to savor, you know, savor the time. Somebody was doing something with a little kid the other day. I said, you better savor that. You better enjoy that. That little rat's going to grow up. Thank you for the nice thing you said. One of the guys this morning came up and run up to me. Man, he's 150 miles an hour coming right at me, buddy. And I grabbed that little two-year-old, threw him up in the air and kissed him on the head. They're safer those time, dads. There is no way I could take my Corey, who is 220 pounds, 6'2", and throw him up in the air anymore and kiss him on the head. Savor. Affection talks about savoring that. The mind, the regarding of it. To be the same mind, to be like-minded, to have understanding, to be wise, to feel, to think. To have an opinion of oneself, think of oneself, to be modest, not let our opinion, though just, of himself exceed the bound of modesty. In other words, it's okay to smell the perfume, but don't drink it. Amen? It's okay to smell the perfume of someone saying, hey, great sing, but don't take too much of it. Amen? To think or to judge what one opinion is. To be the same mind, that is, agree together, cherish the same view, be harmonious. That's what that's talking about there, about being set your affections on things. Set your mind to it. Savor the right things, amen. Well, that'll change your whole life. You get around people that are ornery and cantankerous and bitter and just always just growling about stuff and never happy. That's what I usually do. I'm with some guys and they'll be big gripe and I says, so, is that what you talk about me when I'm not here? Well, that sure scatters the flock, amen. So set your affections on things above. And all those little words that say the mind, the thoughts, the savoring, make sure you set your affection on things above. To direct your mind, to think, to seek, to strive, to seek one's interest or advantage, to be one's party, side with him in public affairs. That's what Paul said. Hey, let me just set your affection. You Christians, let's all set our affection on things above. Let's set our things about thinking about the Lord Jesus. Let's not about the griping, complaining, not worrying about the electrician not working and the sewer not working and not thinking about this and that. Those things do happen, and we all know that. But said, man, let's set our affection on things above. How does one know if he is forgiven? You tend to feel sorrow over the circumstance instead of a rage. You tend to feel sorry for the person rather than angry with him. And you tend to have nothing left to say about it all. That's forgiveness. That was a great quote. Paul further writes, verse 3. Go with me to verse 3. For ye are dead. Well, that's a blessing. For ye are dead. And your life is hidden Christ with Christ in God. My life is no longer mine. It's no longer about me. It's about Him. That'll change your whole thought about your forgiveness if you're dead. That's why he talks about mortifying yourself. When Christ with our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with His glory. And then he says, verse 5, mortify. Boy, that's a blessing. You ever heard of a mortician? Or the mortuary? That's where that comes from. This idea here has to make or be dead. Worn out as an old man. He poses no threat. He is weak. He would be unable and unstable to go to battle. Unable to chase you, deprive you of your power, and destroy your strength. That's what it's talking about. I die. I'm no longer useful to the world to ruin things, literally. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Y'all see that? That's illicit sexual intercourse. Adultery, fornication, sodomy, intercourse with animals. You say, Pastor, why would you say that? Because we have a lot of stupid people in this world anymore. And I'm sorry I have to say that. Now, I apologize if it offends you, but I'm going to tell you something. That's what that word means. Parents, please look after your children. Please watch over your children. You're not their pal. You're their parent. It's not your responsibility to trust them. It's your responsibility to train them. Don't you trust me, Dad? Yes, but I don't trust other people around you. Explain this to me. I've said it a million times. Why is it that you can raise a child until he's 18 years old and you take him to church, you put him in Christian school, you do everything you can in the world to protect them, and in a half an hour with some other idiot, they turn out to be an idiot like them or even worse? Explain that to me. How does that happen? How did our Sunday school girls and our Sunday school boys all of a sudden turn out to something completely different that we have tried our heart to train them in the nurture and admonition of God? Tell me that. Explain it to me. So I said, well, there's inconsistency at home. Yeah, you're right. There's an inconsistency at home. Yeah, parents say one thing and do another. They don't do what you say. They do what you do. And it's always worse. Then it talks about uncleanness. Uncleanness, that's immoral sense. Impurity, lustful, impure motives. There's a lot of that going on today. Inordinate affection, that's lust. Whatever befalls one to be sad, a calamity, mishap, evil, a feeling which the mind suffers, passionate deeds of bad sins, depraved passion, and vile passion. That's what that means. And then evil concupiscence. That has to do with desire, the lust after, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. You can't have it. Why can't I have it? Don't eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Why not? Well, Satan always comes up and says, it'll make you smarter. Just take that booze. Drink a little bit of that. Make you smarter. You need to know how it feels. Take that drug. Smoke that cigarette. You know. Take that first kiss. Start petting a little bit. That's evil concupiscence. Oh, man, I want her. I want him. And covetousness, that's greediness. Covetous passion, greedy desire to have more. Boy, I can just get, if I could just have that. Boy, I wish I had that one that they got. Boy, I like that one they have. Boy, I'd like to have all that. Which is idolatry, the Bible says. I don't want to practice idolatry, amen? If you really study idolatry, you know that they're doing that so they can get something, right? Look at all the practices over in Nepal. And they're doing it because of magic. And they're hoping that if they do it enough, that God will bless them with something. What is it? It's covetousness, greediness. Oh, if I could just get some more. So I'll do more puja. I'll burn more incense. I'll put some more rice. I'll put some more chicken or something that my God will see I'm trying to really do good, or I'll make sure that they don't do, you know, voodoo on me and I don't get bad stuff or I don't get the bad karma and blinkety blinkety blink. That's idolatry. God said, Hey, Paul said, hey, don't practice it. You think Paul knew what he was talking about by these idol worshippers? Absolutely. For which sake, listen now, all those things that we listed fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, and idolatry. Verse 6, look in your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes. So, Paul's saying, now listen, you be careful that you don't say, hey, look at me. He's actually saying, you better be humble in this stuff. You better be careful how you talk. Yes, these people do these things. Yes, you can go over to Nepal and poke fun of those people. You can go to Dominican Republic, poke fun of those people that are doing voodoo. You can poke fun of those people wherever. Say, yeah, you bunch of idiots. But you know what? If you really look down deep inside of you, you've done some pretty stupid things yourself. And it's only by God's grace that He saved you. And secondly, it's only by God's grace that He kept you. Only by God's grace you were born here and not over in Afghanistan or Ethiopia or wherever. Since that is, that gives us a greater responsibility to go out and preach the gospel. God gave it to us, and now we are in debtors. We're debtors to the cause of Jesus Christ. We're to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. But, verse 8, but now ye also put off these things. Anger. That's wrath, vengeance, indignation, the natural disposition of us, our temper, our agitation of our soul, our impulse, our desire, our violent emotion. Get out of my way! That's anger. That's no. I jumped in a car one time. This must have been Mike Wilson. How many remember Mike? Mike, if you're listening, I'm telling you about you. I jumped in Mike Wilson's car one time. He said, okay, preacher, let's go. We jumped in there. We were going fishing or something. I can't remember what it was. And all of a sudden, he punches on his radio, and it's got this Bach. Not Bach Grove, Virginia. Bach. Gee, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful orchestra music. I'm looking at him and says, I said, Mike, that is really nice music. He said, hey. I said, why don't you listen to it? Because I have this little anger issue when I drive and stupid people out there. I don't want to be listening to The Fight Is On. Did it help? No. But anyway, I just heard some good music. So anger, wrath, that's fierceness, indignation, anger. Listen to this. Heat, boiling up and soon subsiding again. That is the Greek term of wrath. Boiling up and it's subsiding. Boil up, it's subsiding. If you've got a problem with that, God says, shame on you. If your husband comes home and he don't know which end the end is up when he gets there, maybe you ought to have a little anger management work on, amen. Maybe you need to start playing some Bach or Sham or whatever you want, amen. The last thing of boiling up and soon subsiding is, listen to the word, glow. It just glow. You just know that, whoa, I'm not going in there. I'm going to text before I come in. Are you okay? I see you're glowing. Glowing, to me, means there's going to be a meltdown. And I don't want to be a part of that. Now, I know you wonderful women in this congregation would never be like that. I know you guys would never be like that. But I'll just let what the Bible says, all right? Number three, malice. See the word malice? Maliciousness. Evil. Wickedness. Naughtiness. Ill will. Desire to injure. Oh, boy, that's going to kill you. Do you know what the next word, the Greek, is? Depravity. Depravity. Depraved. Wickedness is not a shame to break the law. That kind of, when I was looking all this up in my commentaries and things, I thought, wow, how about that? Wickedness is not a shame to break the law. I don't care what the law says, I'm going to shoot you. I don't care what the law, I'm going to run you over. I don't care what the law says, I'm going to beat the fire out of you. That's what the word malice means. Doesn't sound too Christian to me. And then the word blasphemy. That's railing, evil speaking, slander, distraction, speak injuriously to another's good name. Impious and reproachable speech, injurious to divine majesty. You heard of people saying, well, that's blasphemy to God. A lot of the stuff you hear today, even on Christian radios, is blasphemy. See any more down there? Oh, yeah, filthy communication out of your mouth. This is kind of the sewer lips of Paul speaking here. Foul speaking, low and obscene speech. We had a little problem in our home a long time ago, and it was called potty talk, potty room talk. Everybody has that in your home pretty much. Little kids think it's real funny. We stopped it real quick in our house. We ain't going to talk like that. We're not going to have potty mouths. What I was actually saying, we're not going to have filthy communication out of your mouth. We're not going to talk like that. People can say it. And some people think it's funny. We're not going to have that. And Paul the Apostle right there, he said, hey, stop that stuff. Stop that low and obscene speech. Quit it. And then it goes, verse 9. You got this? Pretty much we understand all. Why not one to another? Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And on and on and on. 2 Corinthians chapter 2:10. To whom ye forgive anything, forgive I also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, forgave I in the person of Christ. And Paul said, I just want you to know that I forgave you, not because of who you are, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus Christ is. Go with me to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 7. When I think of the subject of forgiving, I seem always to go back to the account of Joseph and his brothers in Genesis. You see that they sent a messenger to go to Joseph, and he was to tell them, and then we start up the account here in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 17, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive I pray thee now. Now this is the brothers having this man go tell him, I pray thee now to the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy fathers. Now here's the interesting thing of all about that. Joseph had already forgiven them. Most people who have sin in their heart and have this junk that really holds them back don't realize that the person they did it to has already forgiven them. And I've said this many times, I'll say it again, it doesn't do you any good to be mad at somebody. They don't care, for the most part. But I care. And I want everything clean in here. Amen? Listen to me. Hey, look at me. I don't want something in here that hurts me. I don't want something in here that would hinder me or hinder my fellowship with my Heavenly Father. So I got to get rid of it. Amen? So do you. And Joseph did not let this issue in his life spoil the rest of his life. Look at his attitude. They should be what all Christians have done. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them. He felt sorry for them. Chapter 50, verse 18, and his brother also went and fell down before their face and said, behold, we be thy servants. Now, the psalmist, now stay with me now. Don't miss me now here. The psalmist gives us something that we do not have in any other place in the Bible about Joseph's slavery and his suffering. Psalm 105 and verse 18 says, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he had laid in iron. He was laid in iron. Now, we don't see that in any other place. So something must have been wrong with his feet, because they were hurt. This shows us again Joseph's gracious, forgiving spirit, stripped of his coat of many colors, amen, when the brothers took him, threw in a pit, left to die, isn't that right? That's what they did to him. Sold him into slavery, taken from his home, taken from his father, had to learn a new language. That's right. They didn't speak Hebrew down in Egypt. He was made a servant. After serving so faithfully in Potiphar's house, he was accused of a terrible sin of adultery with Potiphar's wife. They cast him in prison. While he's in prison, he does all these good things, and man, all of a sudden, it sounds like he's running the prison now. Two guys got a problem, and he said, hey, I don't know how to tell you a dream, interpret a dream, but I do know my Heavenly Father does. What's going on? Of course, you remember the story. And it's exactly what it says, but the guy forgets him 2 more years. I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to live in jail 2 more years. 2 years! That's a long time. Friends, this is what happened. Now listen now, this is what happens when you do it God's way. God's policies are always the best policy. Listen to what happened. When you are careful not to become bitter and have hatred in your heart, let me remind you that this was not an overnight stay in a hotel for Joseph. And Joseph said, and he wept, and he said, hey, You made it be bad, but God made it for good. It's okay. You're my brothers. Come on. I'm going to take care of you. You bring your wives. You bring your children. You bring dad. And I will tell you, we will be, you know, we'll have a life of Riley here. It's going to be so fantastic. Joseph could have had them all put to death. You understand that, right? He was second in command of the country. And so could you, probably. There are some people you could ruin. Yeah, you could say something. You could ruin them. Why? Does it make better what happened to you? Listen to me. Does it make better what happened to you? No. Forgive. Forgiveness is forgetting. That's true forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verse 26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Whoa. There is the answer why you should forgive. The answer is, God said so. I've seen it many times. I hear a father say, hey, go tell him to come in here. And he goes and says, hey, come on back to the church. And the kid says, no, I'm staying out here. And then the kid says, Dad said so. Oh. That changes things around, doesn't it? Huh? You tell your child, hey, you go tell him that Dad said you get in the house right now. One of these days, Miranda's big sister is going to say, you need to come in the house. And Miranda's going to say, which I am thinking that she's already doing that. And then you say, Mom said to get in the house. She may whine and complain, but she'll come in the house. Because she knows if she don't, Mama's coming. And she's really not afraid of Mama because Dad is there too. And that really brings down the house. Amen. The reason we forgive is not because of what the preacher said. It's because of what God said. Amen. There it is again. There it is again. Therefore, if any man, Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is again. Don't vindicate. Not your job to pay back. 2 Corinthians 2:7. So that, contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Can I just, here's a thought, and I heard it the other day. Forgiveness does not give license to forgetting. In some areas, something may happen to you and you want to make sure that that does not happen again. That is a thought I throw out for you. I haven't worked it up yet, but I know there's something in that. Amen. The greatest of all his illustrations of the forgiveness is when Jesus Christ said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure change the future. Here's another one. People can be more forgiving than you can imagine, but you have to forgive yourself, let go of what bitter, and move on. Bill Crosby said that. I thought that was pretty interesting. He's a pretty funny guy. And he has also had to come over a lot of forgiveness. Henry Ward Beecher, I can forgive, but I cannot forget, is only another saying, I will not forgive. Forgiveness ought to be like a canceled note torn into, burned up, so that it never can be shown against one. Whew, that's powerful. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself. For every man has need of being forgiven. To forgive, to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Forgive me. What are you going to do about it? Can you change the past? No, you cannot change the past. It's always there. But you can forgive. I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put myself in that kind of position. I don't want that kind of stuff. I don't want to be like you. I want to have a heart that's clean, that when someone comes to me, I want to be very, very open to them and let them know I love them and let them know I'll give them a chance. And if I have to do like Peter was told by Jesus, 70 times 7. Sounds like there's a real difference in the Christian life and the worldly life. Seems like there's a real difference between mankind and Christianity. But I'm finding today that there's not much difference. I'm finding today the Christian church is not much different than the worldly church. The difference between a bar and a church is booze. Except at the bar, you're always welcome. I don't want that to be like Heritage Baptist Church. I want to be a separated church. I want to pastor a church that says, hey, there are certain things we do not do because of the holiness and because of a life of Christianity. If I cannot get on my knees and thank God for what I'm about to do, I shouldn't be there. I'm against the movies, by the way. I hear everybody talking about Noah. You know, I got a real good account of it right here. One of our dear friends of our church said the other day, wrote a blog or whatever you want to call it, wrote and says, you know, I was kind of amazed. I was listening to a Christian radio station. By the way, these Christian radio stations are not really, you know, remember what they say. This is not our opinion or this is not. Remember that, okay? And they were discussing this Noah. And I thought, boy, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't go to movies. Bless God, if you ever caught a movie, they'd take you in front of the church. They'd church you for that. We can go to the dance. I don't approve of that. It don't make any difference. I don't. Tell me what they have at dances. You've never been to one. Praise God. Got a lot of shaking going on. Got a lot of nudeness going around. I'm not for that. Cover yourself up, girl. Only person I'll see you is your husband. Or when you get married, then your husband. Not before. Oh, but pastor, it's just a thing. I don't. Yeah, it is a thing. Scripture says that we should never, never, never put ourselves in a position that way. Hey, by the way, you go hugging on a girl all night? Now, I'm a man. You go hugging on a girl all night? What if she ain't the one? You've been hugging on somebody else's wife. Shame on you. And by the way, don't you think about hugging on my wife. That's mine. That's not yours. And I'm going to do the Tennessee waltz or the Yellow Rose of Texas with anybody else except my wife. The Bible says, abstain from all appearances of evil. I make no apology for that. You know why?
Right here in the Bible.
I don't want my daughter to be out with another guy. Alone. You say, why, preacher? Because I was a young man one time. I really was. I know you don't believe it, but I was. I know I got off the Noah's Ark, but... I've never seen anything happen good after 11 o'clock at night. She said, boy, you're a fuddy-duddy. Yes, sir, and you marked me an A-plus on the top of 4.0, 100%. You just put it that way. Yeah, I'm old fuddy-duddy. I'm a guy that believes this book. Now, let me tell you something. If the parents have set up guidelines in their home, that's none of your business. You get that? That's none of your business. Shut your mouth. That's out of your area of justice. It's out of your area of justice. You don't have a right to say nothing about them. Y'all understand that, don't you? Shut your mouth. You can say some pretty mean things and cruel things that really hurt people's feelings, and you don't even know what you're talking about. But you like to chip, 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 chip. Some of you girls got tongues so long you can sit in the living room and lick your skillet clean. Yes, you could. And some of you guys got the same thing. And by the way, since you raised your kids and they're doing pretty good, you got grandkids coming, so you better keep your mouth shut. Is that right, grandmas? Just thought I'd pull over and park on that. Now, I hope you understand. I've been preaching on forgiveness, and I hope you'll take care of that. Now, Miss Sherry and I worked real hard Friday. We made 168, something like that, of my mother's recipe. I also have pulled pork over building number 2 for you that we've been working hard, and I smelled all night. This morning I was at full freight, and wouldn't you know, the electricity went off. And it was just time for me to leave here and come bring it down to church, put it in church. Amen. So there are, I need some ladies. I think, who you, Miss Sherry, you kind of know what you... The buns have to be cut. I don't want them cut until it's time to eat them because we want them nice and fresh. Okay? And I think we got enough to feed y'all. First come, first serve. That's the way it is. Amen. Family goes with family. Amen? But you better have your glasses on. You get one bite of that stuff. And you don't give it another bite again, boy, your old tongue come off, slap your eyeballs off, try to get the next bite. Amen. Hey, work on this forgiveness. Work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it. Will you do that? Will you work on it? Work on it. It's an easy thing to let it go. Father, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and thank you for loving us and caring for us, and would you just do a great work in our hearts. Lord, bless the food to our body tonight. Thank you for allowing us to do it and having fun making it and having fun eating it. And pray you just bless now. And Lord, help us tonight to live more like you. Thank you for the food in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I need you ladies.